I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If I, a man, abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and man gathereth them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned.
It has been said that grapes are the most widely grown fruit in the entire world. We know that grapes have been cultivated for as long as 2,500 years before Christ. Because grapes are such a prominent item in the world, Jesus may have said what he did in John 15, the passage that was read a few moments ago. The Lord said that he is the true vine, and he compared his people, us, to branches. When we think about who a Christian is, John 15 provides us with another illustration. A Christian is a branch of Christ. A Christian is someone who is directly tied to Jesus. As shoots come off of a grapevine, so a child of God is connected to the Lord. This point is made in different ways in the New Testament. Jesus, for example, said in Matthew 12, verse 30, that we are with him or we're against him. We're on the vine or we're not. In Revelation 3, verses 16, the Bible says that we are either hot, on the vine, or we're cold, detached from Christ. In Matthew 25:33, Jesus used a different analogy. He said people are either a sheep or a goat. In Matthew 25, verses 34 and 41, he said we are numbered with the blessed or we're part of the cursed. In John 10, verse 3, he said we are either part of the sheepfold or we're outside the sheepfold. In John 8:12, he described it with light and darkness. We're walking in the light or we're in darkness. Jesus compared himself to a door in John 10:7, doors have two sides. We're either on the side of the door where Christ is, or we're not. When a person wears the name Christian, he or she is making a statement. Wearing this name means that a person has been attached, joined to Christ. As a branch of a grapevine is joined to the main stalk, so Christians are attached to Jesus. For a Christian, then, the relationship with Christ is not a friend-to-friend relationship, really. Neither is it a casual acquaintance. Jesus is not someone that the Christian thinks about from time to time, but the Christian, the person who has truly been joined to Christ, is someone who has been inseparably linked to Jesus, one who has been fully attached. Well, someone may ask, well, that's an interesting point, but how does it occur? How do we get from a time in life where we are unattached to Jesus to a time where we are fully attached to Jesus? Well, we would say, first of all, that it cannot occur unless someone believes. If a person believes, that puts them on the right road, but it's not enough. You see, Jesus is part of the Godhead. He is perfect, holy, righteous, completely without sin. But as we look at humanity, we find from passages like Romans 3:23 that all sin, all people are guilty of wrongdoing. So if we want to be attached to Christ, the vine that is absolutely perfect, and we're not perfect, there are some changes that need to occur in our life. So we're qualified or prepared or suitable to be joined to the stalk that Jesus described in John 15. Well, this requires us to repent. Jesus said that this is necessary in places like Luke 13:3. His apostles commanded it in places like Acts 17:30 and Acts 2, verse 38. Repentance means that a person wants to live according to God's will. The word describes a life that is so modified in such a way that a person begins to live as the Bible teaches. This is not intended to be a pun, but it's turning over a new leaf so that we are properly suited to be joined to Jesus. Well, this helps us in the future. That is, repentance aids us as we look at the time to come. But what about in the past? If we want to join ourselves to Jesus, John 15, if we want to be attached to him in the sense that he's the vine and we're a branch, he's perfect and we've been imperfect in the past, we can repent and deal with future matters, but how do we deal with the sins of the past? Somehow that past needs to be erased so we are in a position to be joined to the vine. Well, the Bible says the process that attaches us to Christ is baptism. In Acts 22:16, a question is asked, "And now why tarriest thou? Why wait? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on his name." Here the Bible says that baptism washes away sins. Well, we can take this point and relate it to the illustration in John 15. Here is an imaginary individual who wants to be joined to Jesus. He or she wants to become a branch on the vine Jesus. The individual, though, sees that there's a problem. Jesus is perfect, but he or she is not. The person believes, but we know the belief is not enough. The person is also sorry for the things that he or she has done in the past and wants to do better. But how can the sins of the past be removed so a person is now in a position to be joined to the perfect vine, Jesus? Well, Acts 22:16 says that sins are washed away in baptism, but there is another passage that will make the point even clearer. In the book of Romans, Paul talks about the Romans' conversion, how they became attached to Jesus. We want to specifically look at verses 4 and 5, but look at these two verses in reverse order, starting with verse 5. "For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death," Paul said, "we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." The ASV uses the word planted. The King James, ASV uses the word united. The King James uses the word planted or planted together. And this is helpful as we look at the analogy in John 15. A person says, "I want to become attached. I want to become joined. I want to be united with the branch Jesus." How does that occur? Well, belief is important. Repentance is important. But in Romans 6:5, Paul says, the process that was undergone by the Romans, it united them. It attached them to Jesus Christ. What part of this process specifically accomplished this? Romans 6:4. Paul says, "We were buried, therefore, with him through baptism into death." Before a person is immersed into Christ, he or she is outside of Christ. Such a person is likened to a goat who is in darkness. But once an individual has been baptized, the Bible says they are united, or they are planted together with Christ. They're attached. Why does this uniting, why does this joining only occur at the point of baptism? The answer is found in Acts 22:16. A person arises, gets up, and is baptized and washes away his or her sins. Jesus is pure. So the branches that are attached to Christ must also be pure. The cleansing process, the purification process, culminates in baptism. Once a person has been immersed for the forgiveness of sins, he or she is clean. They are at that point attached to Jesus, the vine, the church. Being attached to Christ is the most important decision that we will ever make. In life, we know that branches receive life from the vine. The vine also helps protect the branches. Branches, if they want to survive, if they don't want to wither up and die, they must stay connected to the source that gives them life. Being a branch that is attached to Jesus tells us some things about Christianity. In fact, we can relate the story to a point that Jesus made in Matthew 21. This is a famous story. You may remember that Jesus, towards the end of his life, found a fig tree. It was a tree that looked very, very promising. It was filled with leaves, but there were no figs on it. The tree looked good, but a fruit tree is supposed to have fruit. This one did not, and Jesus was not pleased. The text says that he cursed it. From Matthew 29, we want to begin with verse 19. "And seeing a fig tree by the wayside, he came to it, and having found nothing thereon but leaves only, he saith unto it, Let there be no fruit on thee from henceforth forever. And immediately the fig tree withered away." There are some lessons in John 15 and Matthew 21, verse 19. If we want to have spiritual life, if we want to be with God, have God hear our prayers, if we want to spend eternity with God in heaven, we need to be joined to the right source, the source that gives us these things. And this source, of course, is Jesus. Once we are joined to the Lord, the Bible says that we are obligated to produce fruit. God does not want us to be like a leafy branch. We are to be, if we use the imagery in John 15, someone who is producing grapes, something that's productive. In fact, if you have kept your passage or your Bible open to John 15, here's what Jesus says in verse 5, a passage that was previously read. "I am the vine. You, my people, are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same beareth much fruit." This is the right way to be. "For apart from me, ye can do nothing." God's will for his people is to bear fruit and to bear much fruit. There is a sense in which God sees us as a shoot off the grapevine. As we look at our Christian life through the glasses that Jesus describes in John 15, Do we have any grapes in our life? If we do, what are they like? What do they taste like? How do they appear? There are members of the church that are like the tree that Jesus cursed in Matthew 21:19. That's sad to say, but it's true. There are some folks who have a lot of leaves, but no fruit. This kind of life may look good, but the Lord teaches it will not get us to heaven. If you kept your finger open at John 15, let's take another look at verse 2 as well. Jesus here says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit. If a person is unproductive, he takes it away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he cleanseth it, that it may bear more fruit. Are there people in the Lord's body who do not bear any fruit? In John 15:2, Jesus says yes. Where are the non-bearing branches taken? If a person chooses not to be productive in his or her Christian life, what happens? Verse 6 of John 15. If a man abide not in me, that is, he's unproductive, or chooses to leave, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. In this chapter, Jesus is not talking about literal grapevines. He's talking about his people, the church. When Christians are lifeless and inactive, Jesus says they will be lost. 2 weeks ago, we showed that Christians are to be like soldiers who are in active duty. Last week, we looked at things from the standpoint of items that are boiled. Today, we find that God says to his people, be busy, be active, do your best to be productive, or I will cut you off. Some would say, well, I can't believe that Jesus would say that. It sounds so harsh, so unloving. Surely Jesus would not do such a thing or ever teach such a thing. Consider, if you will, the matter from a secular standpoint. What if we have, and some here I know grow fruits, vegetables, what if we have a plant or a tree that is not producing? It has been in the ground for several years, but it is not productive. Well, such a tree is not an asset. It is a detriment. Space is being wasted. Time is being used on a tree that is not producing anything. The money that is being spent could be spent elsewhere. Dead wood on trees needs to be pruned because it's not helpful. Non-bearing trees and vines need to be destroyed. There is no person with any sense in the secular realm who takes a tree that is either dead or should be productive and is unproductive and keeps it and says, oh, look, I have a tree that doesn't produce anything. I'm proud of it. It doesn't work that way. Jesus uses that principle from the secular realm to teach his people a spiritual truth. Yet we find sometimes within the church, there are some people who do not believe the Lord. In the spiritual realm, there are some folks, some good folks, who believe that God is going to accept any old thing. We can be lifeless, useless, and dead wood, but God, because of his marvelous grace, still smiles at us. This is a lie right from the devil's headquarters. In John 15, Jesus says this is absolutely false. The vine is the Son of God. And folks, Jesus cares who is attached to him. He's not interested in dead wood. He's not interested in barren branches. If we do not comply with what he said, we will be removed. This means in the clearest possible terms that there will be some members of the church who do not make it to heaven. How sad to be a person who on the day of judgment knew the truth, was exposed to the right way, had a chance to live as a faithful Christian, but Jesus says, you were unproductive. I have to prune you. I have to cut you off. In this chapter, Jesus shows what God wants from his people. This is in verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same beareth much fruit. For apart from me, ye can do nothing. Jesus wants his people to bear fruit. Some have taken this passage and applied it strictly to evangelism. It does relate to teaching the gospel to other people, but bearing fruit occurs in so many other ways as well. It describes the person who lives as a faithful Christian, the person who is a soldier of God, the person who goes through afflictions of different kinds and still stays faithful to God. Being a dedicated Christian results in fruit from a number of different aspects. Commitment to Christ brings forth much fruit. I like this image because I have seen a variety of grapes on the vines at our house. They've not been in but 3 or 4 years, but we have sometimes some grapes that are plump and succulent and juicy. But I've also seen some grapes on those vines that are not very good. They're small, some have been sour, some have been hard, and some have been infected with bugs. And if I have vines that produce those kinds of things year after year, I don't want them because they're not productive. Jesus, as he looks at his people, he says, we have the right vine, Jesus Christ. If we're a Christian, we are attached to the vine. And God is concerned about what we are producing in our Christian life. What kind of person are we? Are we an individual who has never been joined, never been attached to Jesus? This is our status if we have never been baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. We need to be attached to the vine because that is where life is. The Bible says that we're united to Christ. We're joined to Jesus by this process. If we have become united to Christ, are we like a leafy shoot? That's a sad condition for a Christian to be in. We know the truth, could do the truth, but all we do, you know, there's really nothing there, like the tree that Jesus cursed in Matthew 21. Are we like a branch that is producing scrawny and useless grapes? There are some folks like this as well in the church. Or are we trying to give God the very best that we can, day after day, time after time? The illustration in John 15 is so simple, but it allows us to determine what kind of spiritual life that we have. If we're old enough to be responsible for our actions, to know right from wrong, have we become attached to Jesus Christ? Have we become united with him through baptism? If so, are we doing our best to be a faithful worker in the Lord's vineyard? Are we trying to make it a productive place and to produce a quality fruit for God? Some here this morning may need help. You either need to be attached to Jesus through baptism because you have never done that, or perhaps you need assistance from the standpoint of producing a better product in your Christian life. Can we help you? If you're a Christian and we need to strengthen you, encourage you, we will do whatever we can to see that you produce a fruit that God is pleased with, that you're not pruned, as Jesus described in John 15:6. If you need to be attached to the vine, when we sing the invitation song, bear in mind that there is only spiritual life if we're attached to Christ. That's absolutely essential. Jesus said we're with him, against him, a sheep or a goat, hot or cold, on the side of the door with him, or on the other side and not with him. Only two choices for accountable people. Where are we and what are we producing? If it's not the right place and we're not producing the right things, will you not write your relationship with God this morning, right now, as we stand and sing?